Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
There's a whole bunch of people still out in the foyer who are going to wave palms during the singing of our first song. So welcome to you all this morning, and to those of you who are watching online, to this Sunday we call Palm Sunday, the day each year in our Christian tradition where we remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, surrounded by a great crowd. It really struck me that in the Gospels it records this great crowd in Jerusalem at that time. And I think it must have been an amazing sight. I don't know what your imaginations are like, but to see all those people in front of Jesus, around him, behind him, and he riding on a donkey, and the crowd sort of moving along. Can you picture it? And the crowd was shouting, "Hosanna." I'll read you the full text in a minute, but Hosanna is a Hebrew expression which means, in its origin, it means save, but it's become an acclamation of praise. It's a word that is reflective of Psalm 118, and we're going to read that in a little while. But here's what the crowd said, and what I did, I took the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and a bit of John as well, and I put them into one passage. I left out the bits where it was a straight repetition, but here's what the people were shouting, according to the Gospel writers. Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he! Blessed is the King! Blessed is the King of Israel who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven, peace in heaven, and glory in the highest. I would have loved to have heard that shout, but we're going to kind of hear that shout just now. And I invite you to stand and we'll sing together. Hosanna,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts filled with praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God, Hosanna.
God, we do praise you and sing Hosanna to you. May your name be glorified today in this place, in our lives, and in the communities in which we live. May you, Lord, be the constant focus of all that we do, all that we live for, and all that we are.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me.
Amen. Please take your seats. Ren Ginny is going to come along now and lead us in reading a portion of Psalm 118. And if you listen and observe the bits particularly that Ren Ginny reads, but other parts of it as well, this portion of Psalm, parts of it, turn up in the Gospels in the accounts of what's happened on that Palm Sunday way back.
Good morning, church. The response reading is taken from Psalm 118, verses 19 to 29. Psalm 118, verses 19 to 29. Open for us the gates where the righteous enter, and we will go in and thank the Lord. These gates lead to the presence of the Lord, and the godly enter there.
We thank you for answering our prayer and giving us victory.
The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see.
This is the day the Lord has made.
we will rejoice and be glad in it.
Please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success.
Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, shining upon us. Take the sacrifice and bind it with cords on the altar.
You are our God, and we will praise you. You are our God, and we will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever.
Amen. Greetings. Greetings. Morning.
Too many things going through my brain. That's my problem.
That's it.
So I hope you've had a good week this week. I guess like all weeks, a bit of a mixture. For those online, I think you're getting a delayed telecast this week, so no doubt you would have spent some time thinking, why isn't my network working? Well, it's just not. So when you eventually tune on sometime today or tomorrow, I hope you're all well too. A few little notices. We have some of these little flyers. They're Friday Friends. If you know some people in your neighbourhood that might benefit from coming along and connecting in, getting out of the house, whatever it might be, there's some flyers for you to pick up and drop in people's letterboxes or give to them in person or make some jet planes out of and see how far you can throw them. I don't know. Whatever it is, that's a way you can do that. A reminder, the 24th is our annual general meeting, so a chance to get along, look at some of the key things we've done and some of the ways we're looking forward, including finances and some other exciting things like that. Are there any other notices that you would like, to plug? Yes, go.
Good morning, church. Today, Palm Sunday, it's wonderful, but it is the beginning of quite a topsy-turvy week in the Christian Holy Week. Going through Maundy Thursday, the horror of Good Friday, and then coming back this next Sunday. Now, next Sunday is a time of joy, the resurrection of new life. And I would like to encourage you to reflect that joy in what you wear. Perhaps wear a favourite dress or brightly coloured clothes, a flower in your hair, or if you've got no hair, maybe in your lapel.
Thank you.
Paint your head.
Well, you know, I'm generous. But I'm going to prune back all my plumbago, and I'm going to bring my plumbago in and put it around. If anyone else would like to bring some flowers to put amongst it, yeah, or anything else that you would like to show the joy and the new life and the wonder of Resurrection Sunday, then I encourage you to do it. So, thank you.
Yeah, so that's 7 o'clock Thursday evening. We're doing a theme on Garden of Gethsemane. 9:30 Friday morning is Good Friday, and 9:30 Sunday is Easter Sunday, and we'll probably do Holy Communion, but I just need to check with my team. Hopefully that'll be acceptable. All right, kids, do you want to come down the front? We're going to do some quick little response on Palm Sunday. Now, Palm Sunday was a time when people showed respect for Jesus. And they, as we've already done, they got some of these things, they waved them around, they threw them on the ground. And they also got some of these. They got their clothes, like people were wearing clothes, and they ripped it off, threw it on the ground so Jesus could walk on it with his donkey. Interesting. I mean, how do we normally show respect? Like, when you go to, if you were to meet the Queen, what would you do? Give me five. What do you think? Ma'am? It's showing respect, isn't it? What else could you do if you were in the Army or the Air Force, what would you do if you met someone with a higher rank? Salute. Yes, okay. Sir, ma'am. Yes, okay, that's respect. What other ways do we show respect? I don't don't know. That's an interesting. When you go to school, could you imagine going up to the teacher and taking off your jumper, throwing it on the ground to show respect? No. Maybe at home you should probably pick up your clothes to show respect. I should say that myself. So how do we show Jesus respect today? We don't see Jesus walking down the street, so we can't take off our jumper and throw it on the ground. How do we show Jesus respect? Yes. By praying, that's a nice answer. What else could we do? Yep. So we come to the time of Easter. Easter is a time when we remember that God loves us, that Jesus loves us. And what does God and Jesus want us to do? How do we share that love? What does that love look like? You've said praying. That's a good option. What is one?
Forgiving.
That's a powerful thing. Yes. Because that's really what Easter's about, isn't it? You make a mistake, you make up for it by asking for forgiveness. Yeah? What about you? Okay, so what is one thing you're going to do to show respect or show love in your family this week? What is one thing? Any ideas? Oh, yes.
Show respect.
That's a good idea. And that's caring, isn't it? And that can be lots of different things. We can think about how we talk to each other. When we say something wrong, we say sorry. Some things like that. All right. So, thank you for your participation today. Have you got any wise words for us today, Sam? What do you think? Tick, 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 tick. I can see your brain thinking. Get back to me. All right. Let me say a prayer for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Easter. We thank you for the love you have for us. We ask that we can help love others. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, crew. We've got a couple of songs which will be picking up this theme.
Now, while the children are here, if you'd like to, grab one of the palms and wave it around during this song. I know Reverend David's itching to pick up a palm and wave it around during this song. So just join in this song. I don't know whether you'll know this one, but anybody else want to come and grab a palm and get wavy? Feel free.
You are the kings of glory. You are the prince of peace. You are the Lord of heaven and earth. You're the Son of righteousness. Angels bow down before. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Glory in the highest heaven, for Jesus the Messiah reigns.
And from the top,
you are the King of Glory. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Lord of heaven and you're the Son of righteousness. Angels bow down before you. Worship and adore, for you have the words of eternal life. You are Jesus Christ the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Glory in the highest heaven.
Hosanna.
Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Glory in the highest heaven. For Jesus the Messiah reigns.
Glory.
Glory in the highest heaven. For Jesus the Messiah reigns.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Good job. I just haven't figured out how to play this thing and wave a palm at the same time. But I'll keep working on it. We are going to sing. You get the feeling there's a bit of an emphasis on hosannas and Palm Sunday and praises today. There's lots to celebrate, and I appreciate what Fiona said about next Sunday and bringing flowers and so on. Because in our journey in recent years and all of the challenges of that, there is still inordinate beauty around us everywhere. And you only need to look at the person next to you to make that realization. But, you know, in nature, in the whole of creation, the wonder and joy of beauty, and I don't think we can afford to lose sight of that. God is at work in his creation still, despite the challenges. All glory, praise and honor to you, Redeemer King. This is our time for our offering. Lord Jesus, you gave of yourself willingly, freely, painfully, sacrificially, in complete and utter love for your Father, and in complete willingness to obey him. How Help us, Lord, to give back to you in whatever way we can in our lives, in how we love and how we care and how we forgive, how we embrace, how we reach out. Lord, we pray that you would receive the offerings we bring this morning that Pam is holding, and the offerings that have been given online, and pray, Lord, that you would enable us to use all of the gifts you've given us, including the monetary ones, wisely in this place and for the benefit of the kingdom, and as we seek to reach out to others beyond these walls. Help us, Lord, we pray. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
This morning's reading is from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Leon's going to lead us in prayer now. Thank you, Leon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is a very holy week. As we pray today, let us be mindful of others and give thought to this holy week, starting today with Palm Sunday and leading to Christ's crucifixion, suffering, and resurrection 3 days later. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts of love and grace. Let us pray for peace, especially in the Ukraine. We feel for those who are suffering the outrage of war. We ask for your divine intervention so that peace will be restored. Father, there are so many places in the world where war and natural events such as floods, fires, famine, earthquake, tornadoes, and disasters happening. Give these people hope, peace, and strength. Let us pray for our brothers and sisters on the east coast of Australia suffering from the flood damage. Give them strength and the power to continue, and give them hope. Father, we pray for those suffering from sickness, especially COVID-19, bereavement, mental instability, unemployment, and many other ailments. Give them blessing, strength, peace, and love. Let us pray for our church family, especially here at the Vines. Let us remember Lynn Ellison at this time and give her healing and strength and peace. We also pray for our leaders and our minister, David Pryor. Let us pray for chaplains in all our schools. Give them strength and understanding. Let us think of events occurring at the Vines. Friday Friends starting on the 22nd of April. The market on the 30th of April. And also the installation of our dishwasher. Father, we pray for leaders of the Uniting Church, our Prime Minister, the Premier of South Australia, our frontline workers, doctors, nurses, AMBOs, SES officers, and others. We pray that the coming federal elections will be peaceable. For all the things, let us just have a moment of silence and pray for those on our heart. Father, for all the things that we enjoy, the peace of this country and everything else that we enjoy, we ask all of these things that we have spoken of this morning in the wonderful, blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's pray. Lord God, as we spend some time trying to soak up the atmosphere of Palm Sunday, we ask that your Spirit would continue to stir us with a word of hope and encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you've had a chance to look at the grapevine, you would have discovered a new term. It's a rather unusual term that I have to say is only really I've heard used in the last 5 years. Liminal. It's a really funny name, liminal. It's almost one of those Glenelg sort of words. You can almost reverse it backwards. Liminal, liminal, liminal. What is a liminal space? The word actually comes from the Latin word limen, meaning threshold, a point or a place you are entering or beginning. So it's when we look at the picture, it's you're entering in a space from what was to what will be, no longer to not yet. It's that in-between time. Now, you might think that the last couple of years we've been stuck in this in-between time. Really, when you think about it. I mean, it's almost like our lives are on hold. We're thinking, when are we ever going to get back to normal life? Whatever normal life looked like, looks like, will look like, I don't know. It's really a fascinating term. And I've put a couple of extra words there, transition and threshold. So it's that stepping into, stepping across. And when you look at the Bible, the Bible's full of these experiences where, well, the Old Testament, the New Testament, it's full of it. Like with Abraham and Sarah, where they're waiting for a child, where the people of Israel are captives in Egypt. And Moses comes along, and then they're in the desert for 40 years, and then, you know, it just goes on and on. That waiting, the in-between time, the, are we there yet? You know, that sort of waiting. Richard Rohr talks about it being the familiar, between the familiar and the completely unknown. That's the space that he talks about in Liminal. Our old world left behind. Well, we're not sure what the new world will look like. And I suppose for each one of us there's something different, isn't there? For each one of us in this place today, your in-between space might be very different from someone next to you. I mean, the unusual thing about COVID is we've all experienced together. However, it's been different, hasn't it? Depends on where you are. Italy, America, Victoria, South Australia, big difference. And yet there's been a common thread. And yet in each one of our lives, there's been a different challenge in that time. Palm Sunday also is very much when we think about it, one of those liminal spaces for Jesus. I mean, let's think about it. Like, he's been preaching for 3 years and he decides to finally head to Jerusalem. And as he comes, the crowds greet him. And it's a great celebration. And maybe it's a big surprising event for Jesus because, well, he's gone from being trying to keep in the shadows to suddenly thrusting himself into the limelight. There's no going back now because Jerusalem is the heart of the religious power. Jerusalem is the heart of the military power. And you can imagine when Jesus is coming in, the spies for the religious leaders and the Romans are watching and reporting back. Spies have been in existence forever. And so they would let the powers that be know that Jesus comes into Jerusalem with great fanfare. It's like rolling in somewhere with a tank. You get noticed. So it's an escalation. And I guess for many of the religious leaders, they weren't particularly surprised by Jesus. You know, he was on their radar, particularly when he rose Lazarus from the dead, particularly when he was doing these miracles, particularly when he went out of his way to embarrass the religious leaders in front of the people. They knew Jesus was trouble. They just hoped he'd stay out further for longer. So by coming to Jerusalem, Jesus cranked up the pressure. So Jesus entering into Jerusalem to acclaim. And we see that a number of things happened, that Jesus wept over Jerusalem because he knew that that ferment and agitation against the Romans was going to spill over. And the result would be that Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed. 70 AD, that's exactly what happened. The Jewish rebels attempted to overthrow the Roman power and they just got decimated. One of the things that Jesus also did was in the temple. He went in there and he threw over the tables. So he just made a mess. Threw everything over, got angry, said, "This is my Father's house." Again, just unsettling everybody and everything. So Palm Sunday is a seismic shift. Jesus steps into Jerusalem and he's not really sure what is going to happen next. So in some of the accounts, some of the Gospels, it seems like it's more than a week. So some scholars say he might have actually been in Jerusalem for months. But I guess for our Christian lectionary, it's easier to compress it all. I mean, that doesn't take away from the experience, but I guess really what we're doing is shortening Jesus' experience. From the time he walks in to Jerusalem, where it's the unknown, to the Garden of Gethsemane, the crucifixion and the resurrection. We've shortened it. But for Jesus, it might have been months of that unknowing of what was going to happen. For the disciples, they didn't know either. So it's that unknowing that impacts us all. Before we can face something new, we have to let go of what has been. And that's about grief and loss. So again, I've mentioned that we've all gone through challenges this year. And I think what I like about, well, even if it's something exciting, so someone turning 60 or 70, maybe you're celebrating the fact you're getting older. Is that normally what happens? Great joy, I'm 60, woohoo! Or whatever it might be. But before you can turn 60, you've got to let go of your 50s. And so that's about recognizing, wow, I'm getting older. And again, you can just add the decade, the celebratory point. And that comes with a recognition, but also of a letting go. And that's part of, for all of us, what life is like. The next quote on the next slide, I came across this quote from Shoni Scott. And she suggests that feeling lost, stuck, confused, or aimless is not the problem to solve. These are all signs of an invitation to growth. So she's saying, you know, when you find yourself in that liminal space, in the in-between, uncomfortable, rejoice because you're being changed. I'm not sure about you. I don't often feel that way. It's like going to the dentist and choosing not to have an injection when they're doing your dental root canal. It's not quite something that just springs to mind. Every transition, whether welcome or chosen, or unwelcome and unsought, begins with an ending and ends with a new beginning. Again, it's trying to say the same thing. It's before we can start something new, we have to let go what has been. And that, for Jesus, was very much the case as well. In his own journey, he had to let go of his identity as being the son of a carpenter. He had to let go of his identity about his role and function, a whole lot of things he had to let go of. A bit like us, you know, when in our lives we've let go of being single, to be married, or to have a relationship, or whatever it might be, from moving from one job to the next, to moving into retirement. All these things are adjustments as we let go. These transitions impact our lives. And I don't know about you, but part of what happens is our emotions get really loud, don't they? A bit like last week when we were trying to think about it. You know, it's so noisy, I can't hear myself think. You know, our inside thought process, our emotions. And Jesus would have been the same. His experience of being in this liminal space would have been confronting. He wept over a number of things. He got angry over a number of things. And that unknown tested him as much as it tested us. So what emotions was Jesus feeling? We don't often pause to think of that, do we? You know, like real men don't cry. Well, in Scripture, Jesus cried a number of times. Yeah, so confronting was it. I was talking to, I think I was reading an article about an Afghani woman who escaped from Kabul. And she said the most striking factor of that experience was when she was sitting on the cargo plane and watching an Afghani man weep. And she said, Afghani men never weep. And for her, it was just the most confronting thing. And I guess for the disciples seeing Jesus weep in the garden, for the disciples seeing Jesus weep over Lazarus, weeping over Jerusalem, getting angry in the temple, you know, the emotions are just flowing. And that happens for us all. And I think the challenge is that what happens in those liminal times is we do, our world shrinks in. We become more lonely, isolated, despairing, frustrated. This next quote picks up some of this. The waiting, the loneliness, the unknown of liminal space is intense. It's normal to feel helpless and stuck, the strong urge to find an escape route possible around your transition. Yet, the best way out is always through. The best way out is always through. I read a quote the other day. If you're stuck in hell, don't stop. I think I may have got there. If you're in hell, don't stop. In other words, keep going. Keep going through. And there's a real sense in which trying to find that momentum. And that's why I like the idea that a liminal space is like a doorway, a threshold. Because you can actually step through it. And the next slide is a nice picture of a doorway. And sometimes what we see on one side is different from what is on the other. And I guess it's like people have often said, you know, when one door shuts, another opens. I don't know. Again, it's lots of recognition about this tough time. And what do we do to keep going? Through. Moving through. The best way is through. What kept Jesus going? What keeps us going? Some interesting questions, isn't it? You know, I like the story from Elijah last week where Elijah, like Jesus, was confronted with certain death. I mean, Jesus knew, going to Jerusalem, he was going to die. Elijah knew he was going to die because the queen had promised she was going to kill him. And she had some assets available to make sure that happened. Difference between Jesus and Elijah was Elijah ran that way and Jesus walked forward. And again, we all have choices, don't we, in what we do. And for Jesus, part of the choice he made was to keep going rather than run away. And I guess for all of us, you know, at times we also are confronted with change. And it's, what do we do in this liminal space? What do we do when we're not sure and uncertain? What are our choices? When our plans don't go the way we wanted? When our world trip has been cancelled for the third time? For whatever plan you have, that falls over. Whatever plans I have. What do we do? How are we confronted? What do we do with this? As I was thinking about this, I'm thinking, well, okay, so how do we apply this to our days? As Christians, you know, what really are we talking about? What do we bring to this liminal space, this unknown, uncomfortable, difficult, bad, sad, mad time? I really find it helpful looking for images because this next one, I think, actually helps. Faith is the bridge between where I am and the place God is taking me. So that's another variation on stepping through. It's almost like our faith is the bridge that links what has been and what will be. I quite like that as an image. So what is it about your faith that helps you bridge that gap, that distance, that helps you keep going through? And I guess for all of us, we have in our lives had an experience of God somewhere. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here, really. Lots of people have decided Sunday morning is a great time for sleeping in or whatever. You haven't for a whole variety of reasons. So what is it about your faith that keeps your faith alive, that helps you transition into these new unknown experiences? Easter. We're talking about, well, forgiveness, love and hope, trust. Some powerful words, aren't they? Faith. What does that look like for each of us? It varies, doesn't it? And I often think, well, I'm surprised faith hasn't had more of an impact for more people in our community, because I know what it is like to not have had faith. And I know what it's like to have faith. And the difference is significant. And I sort of wonder, well, how it is we can help people capture this something beyond themselves that helps them have hope in the midst of despair. It's such a significant thing. What is faith about? The final slide I want you to look at and see what you can see. Next one. What is it you notice on this slide that helps us understand what faith is all about? Can you? It's subtle. Or maybe it's not subtle. Can you see what is in the image? Who can tell me what they see in the image? They got a person praying? An extra shadow? So who is the extra shadow, and what is the extra shadow doing on that person's shadow? Hand on the shoulder. It's a beautiful image. You know, often we experience, and that's a liminal space. It's the in-between, the unknown, the uncertain, the grief of letting go, the uncertainty of accepting something new. Do not fear, for I am with you. Old Testament words which emerge out of the scripture in the shadow of Jesus. It's really quite a beautiful picture. So, as we transition from the known to the unknown, there are some things we can claim about what we take with us. And one of those things is Jesus. I want you to pause for a moment. What is one thing you're connecting with? What is one thing that you're aware that you take with you in those unknown times? Because what I think is what I think. What you think is what is important as well. What is it about your faith you know you take with you into the unknown? I'll give you a minute to think about that, and then David will come back and Fiona and lead us. Holy Spirit, we continue to invite you to stir within us and reaffirm the hope we have in you. Regardless if our faith is this small or this big, all you need is faith. It doesn't have to be big. Lord, we ask that you continue to multiply our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. As you go into the unknown, know the truth that God goes with you to be your friend, to be with you forever. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen. And if you'd like some prayer, please feel free to come down the front and we'll have someone pray for you. Thank you.